This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. Questions for God is a gloriously illustrated children's book series that will help children 3 years old and older learn about God's plan for salvation and everlasting life. Go to QuestionsForGodBooks.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And a special greeting and salutation and felicitations to all of our fathers on this Father's Day. You know, one of the most beautiful statues ever sculpted by one of the most wonderful sculptors that ever lived, he's my favorite, Gian Lorenzo Bernini, was a life-size marble of one of the ancestral founders of Rome, Aeneas. Now this is like a double statue because it portrays a young, strong Aeneas. He's fleeing from the fall of Troy. But what makes this special particularly touching is that Aeneas' elderly father is so tenderly perched upon his son's shoulders. So there is the father of Aeneas, frail and weak, being carried away from Troy by his faithful, loving son. Now in the father's hands on this statue, and remember, he's got Aeneas down here, a nice handsome young man, and the father, and he's pretty good looking too, but in his hands he's holding the little religious statues that every good ancient family, the Roman family particularly, they all had them in their home, little statuettes. And they called these the household gods. And you realize that the father of Aeneas saved the household gods. He had to bring them with him from the fall of Troy out of gratitude, because he knew that were it not for those gods, his son would have never loved his father enough to put him on his back and take him out of Troy. In other words, the father of Aeneas and Aeneas knew that none of them, the father or the mother or the children, were self-sufficient. But all of them, especially the father, needed God and needed to love him and acknowledge him for their gods, or they would never be able to love one another enough to sacrifice for one another. Now you see something similar in the movie Gladiator. That's a tremendous movie. I love that movie. There is a scene in there, which is a big fight in the Colosseum, in which we see the brave, noble, ex-general Maximus. He's now reduced to a slave. He's now reduced to a gladiator. And we see him just before the fight in his little cell. He pulls out a little sack containing his little statuettes, his household gods that he saved with him. And he sets them up and he prays to them. And he asks these gods to take care of his family who live so far away in Spain. He who is powerless, because he's in Rome, and as far as they're concerned, he's powerless, he knows that only the gods can help his wife and his children. Now, I used to see something on a personal note. I used to see something like that at home when I was just a little child. My father was a policeman, and he was a patrolman. And he walked the beat in his early days as a patrolman on 63rd Street. And I remember distinctly how every day he put on his uniform, he'd strap on his gun, he'd put one hand on the dining room table, his left hand, and then he'd go down on one knee, and then he'd make the sign of the cross and bow his head in a short prayer. And I remember asking my mother, I said, "Ma, why does Pop pray every day when he goes to work?" And my mother said, "So that he will come back safely to us." What a great lesson that was for a little 4 or 5 year old boy to learn from his father that even tough Irish cops with guns on their hips and clubs by their side knew that they needed God, because they were not all self-sufficient unto themselves, that even cops and fathers of families are mortal. These strong men, they prayed. Aeneas, Maximus, my father, your fathers, our fathers, because they recognized their place in the world. They recognized that there was a God, and that there were God's laws above them, a God to whom they owed their lives and their prayers and their sacrifices. They knew that to step away from God, to step away from his laws, was to invite death for them and for their families. But to cling to God, to pray to him, to worship him, that was the best way they could provide for their families, because they knew that everything in their home, health, wealth, and safety for their families, followed upon their attachment to God. Now, all traditional societies knew these things, but the Romans had a name for it. They called this kind of a person a pious person. Now, that's the real meaning of the word pious, and that's why countless emperors and 12 popes used it as a name. It does not mean piety in the modern American sense of sweet and somber, oh, I'm so pious. That's not what piety means. In the ancient Roman sense, a pious person, and for our sakes on Father's Day we can say a father, was stronger than anyone else if he was aware of who he was, that he was neither all-knowing nor all-powerful, because those are only the qualities that belong to God alone. A father was strong if he knew that he was mortal under God. And when he recognized that he was under God, that made him the most noble and the most manly and the strongest of all. To defer to the author of law was to achieve genuine authority. He was pious. He knew his duties to God and to man, to his wife and to his children. For the pious man, there would be no doubts as to what needed to be done. He must give up his life for the sake of those to whom he has pledged his life. The pious man, the good father, the strong father, the manly father, must offer himself, his body and his soul, his nights and his days, to those to whom he has given his word, his spouse, who he is to love as he loves himself, and the children who are the fruit of that love. The pious man must be like Christ himself. He must be ready to sacrifice his life so that his family might live. He must die for them if that's what it takes. But before it comes to that, he must love them and cherish them as Jesus would. In the gospel today, Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to lose his life, save his life, will lose it. And whoever wishes to lose his life for my sake will save it. And is not a father, a dad, called by God himself to be ready to give up his life for his family as for God? Now, a modern father might not have all the opportunities to actually die for his family. Someday he may get those opportunities, but a modern father must still give up things in his life for their life. He must sometimes go against his more aggressive nature and be gentle to his wife and children. He must not be crabby or rude. He must be kind, as Jesus was kind. No father should ever say he is willing to give up his life for his family if he cannot hold his wife's hand. Fathers must make sure that their wives and children are fed before they take any food. Fathers must go without clothes so that their wives and families will have clothes. Now, that at least is the ideal and what fathers and their families must strive for. Our fathers need to be pious. They need to know that they cannot do it alone and do it without God. They need to know that they must pray to the one true God for the strength, and the only strength that enables them to raise their families, or their families will die. It's that simple. Now, if there's a problem, the problem is that we live in a profoundly impious world, a world that does not believe in God, or that God even has a place in our families. Our impious world teaches fathers to be impious. Hey, real men don't have to go to church. That's for women and children. Manly men sit at home and watch football and swear and drink. Manly men are rude and crude and take what they want. At least that's the ideal proposed to us on television and movies 24/7. We may not do those things exactly, but in this impious society, they are held up as an ideal. Now you may say, oh, that's that old-fashioned stuff come from Branken anymore. It doesn't apply to us. We're moderns and we do it differently. Nowadays, modern men do not have to marry the women with whom they live. No vows, no commitments, no promises, no pledges. And since a father like that doesn't even give his children his name, he doesn't have to owe them anything else either. Pretty neat, pretty clean, and pretty selfish. And no need for those kinds of fathers to pray, because they're only going to take care of themselves anyway. Then, of course, there are the modern men who did take vows once, but have decided to take up with someone else and abandon the family that God gave them. And they say they do this for their personal happiness. A pious father who knows his duty does not worry ever about whether he is happy, but whether or not his wife and his children are happy. Because they, not he, are all that count. Modern understandings of men and marriage are not pious, and therefore they make men that are neither manly nor fatherly. And I'm convinced that these modern understandings are the impulse behind birth control and abortion and assisted suicide and euthanasia. When a father says that another child or another grandparent to take care of is asking too much sacrifice, it's too much burden, and that he will encourage his wife to find a method, either by pills or by medical procedures, to eliminate that extra burden, well, that's not what real men do. Real men shoulder the burden, and they help their wives raise those babies or put their dads on their backs and carry them to safety. That's what real men do. But in order to be strong enough to support their wives arm in arm as the two of them raise their children, fathers must be prayerful. We need to see fathers on their knees, praying the Mass, praying the Rosary, going to Holy Communion, going to confession. And when our men are traditionally pious, then they will be traditionally manly, full of duty and honor and responsibility for the sake of the lives that God has placed in their care. And I truly believe that when the men of a parish, or of a society for that matter, are the fathers they need to be, then the women of the parish will be the mothers that God has called them to be. So on behalf of all of us at the rectory, we ask and congratulate all our fathers, and we pray for them that they and their families will know the happiness of a family, where father and mother and children are all in sweet accord. And in prayer and in faith, they will know what it is like to have God calling the shots in their home. And they will know what it is like to live in a real Catholic home, and there is nothing happier than that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.